Is there anybody in the congregation that has anything else to say? Yes, you in the back.
I've got something to say.
Fat Ray Ray Productions presents I've Got Something to Say with Raymond Ashmore and Brad Ledbetter. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you had a good time listening to us last week. And if you didn't, you need to go back and listen to that.
I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, it went well. We talked about some of our experiences on the road and then talked a little bit about the Independent Fundamental Baptist.
There you go.
Still can't say that word 2 weeks later, you know. At the end of the episode, though, there was a group we featured on there. You know what I'm talking about? That group that sang at the end of that? What was that? What's that group's name? Do you know what
You talking about the nasally group?
The nasally, yeah. I'm putting Brad on the spot here. He didn't know I was going to talk about that right off here. No, those are some good friend of ours. Good friends of ours.
Yeah, I would say they're pretty good friends.
Yeah. Me, myself, and...
I?
And yeah, that's right, exactly. That's who was on that. That was our alter egos.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, that was a lot of fun to make. They'll probably have some extra help at the end of this one.
We
some dogs, you know.
Actually did that, what, 3-4 years ago? Maybe even 5.
It was about 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago, we was coming from Iowa to Tennessee, and we just, you know how you get on a bus, you get bored, and it was late at night, and we ended up recording ourselves sing a trio to that song, and here we are using it today.
Yeah, no, what was fun about that was we had, I think that I sang lead into a phone
into a
video,
phone. Yep.
And we went back, used his phone. Somehow we used two phones to make this happen.
Yes, we did.
And a Bose speaker. And the Bose speaker was playing the lead voice, and we had the video of me singing between us.
Yes.
So we made our own trio and sang that song.
With our own trio with two of us.
Do you know how long we laughed about that?
That was hilarious.
I mean, that was the funniest thing.
Funny. Yeah, that was one of my favorite memories on the road with you, for sure.
That was a good one. We had Jim and Will both laughing.
Yes.
About that. That was with 4-1 Quartet when we were up there and somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, you know, and I guess we'll go ahead and get into it. That leads us into a story that you're going to tell. I believe this was in Alabama. I'm going to let you take this story. It's the one where the church was just not into it at all.
No, that was the Alabama one. They were into it?
Okay.
Yeah. But what Brad's talking about is what he's referencing, the story we're about to tell you is I usually play my saxophone.
Yes.
In the middle of the, of our singings, our concerts, our venues there that we play. I play this patriotic sax medley. So it's like I think it's America the Beautiful, God Bless America.
Yes, and it's amazing.
And it ends with this When the Saints Go Marching In medley that's on there. You know, I love playing that. I love honoring the veterans and the police and everyone with that, the first responders. You know, I mean, there's a purpose in what I choose to play with that, with the saxophone feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you make a choice about what songs you play. Most of the time, you know, people, oh, that's wonderful. And they stand up in the middle of it, and afterward they clap, and we all have a good time. Well, we were, this is one of those random events where you just have no clue what's going to happen. Well, I finished playing that patriotic sax, and if you've ever heard the end of it, it's going quick, and it ends on this big note thing. And well, I stopped playing it at the end of it, and it was dead silence in the room.
Yes, it was very awkward.
It was, I mean, if you've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, when he gets up there on that talent show, and Napoleon, he does that dance for the school, you know, and it's this amazing, you know, intricate dance. Of course, he looks weird doing it.
Yes, that is the perfect way to describe this.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I stopped playing, and I kind of stood there. No one said anything. No one moved a muscle.
Oh, man.
And then I just awkwardly walked off. Yes. I didn't know what else to say. We started our next set. I think that's when we normally do a product pitch, too. Yes. And, like, we kept on singing.
We just kept right on singing. We didn't do any talking.
I put the saxophone down. We continued to go to the next song. Well, you know what's funny about that is that that leads me to this, is that you can really never tell when you are going to be successful in selling those CDs.
Yes.
You know, there's no rhyme or reason to how they buy or when they buy or if they buy or if they enjoyed it or if they stop by and see us at all. But sometimes you never should expect that something's going to happen.
Right.
Because absolutely. At this event where it was dead silent after the Patriotic saxophone medley, at the end of that concert, they bought every CD on the table.
Yes, they did.
And I think most of the songs they were kind of afraid and timid to clap on. They certainly didn't clap on while the song was going on. But that, I mean, at the same time, that church was probably just not used to doing that.
Exactly.
For whatever reason, whether they're afraid or not. You know, I've been to the other one that you were about to talk about with the Alabama.
Now, this is the one where they went crazy, am I correct?
Right. This is the, yeah.
Yes.
Well, tell us about our trip on the way there, because this was a part of a trip where we went to Mississippi too, right? From Michigan,
I believe
it was like
so.
The last one of the weekend, yes. Maybe
yeah.
Before we went back.
I believe it was the last one on the. I think it was that Sunday. That was a Sunday morning.
I think it
but
was.
Then we were going back home right after that. We didn't. I don't think we had a Sunday evening.
Right.
And this church in particular, was.
Well, they had a church. They had some church bosses.
Exactly. I remember a church boss coming in to let us in to set up. And I believe that was the church where we had to actually take showers in their sink.
Yeah, I think it was. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, and it was absolutely crazy. But anyways, you know, that's just part of being on the road. Hmm. But I tell you what, I remember getting up there, first note we ever sang to the last note, walking off. I mean, this place went crazy.
Yeah, and we felt like there was a valid movement of the spirit going
yes,
on. And
absolutely.
Especially the slower ballads. But you're exactly right. They stood up from the beginning to the end.
Absolutely.
Clapping, hollering, going crazy.
And, you know, churches like that will just sing you to death. I mean, the more that they get into it, the more we do.
Right.
And I remember getting off there. I was like, man, this is great. You know, Lord's really going to bless us today. And you know, this is just a great place. And, you know, it was. I mean, they were pretty nice people there. You know, where we were at with 4-1 Quartet, basically, you know, we were taking love offerings. We, you know, it was...
Yeah, it wasn't a contract basis.
Yeah, it was not a contract basis. We was not doing that at the time. We was just kind of going on love offerings, trying to get small flat to cover our gas.
Right.
But... I'm just going to speak from my point right here. I was expecting a very well love offering given. And when I found out how much it was, I was very disheartened. And
right. Well, because
it was just crazy.
The situation made you set up some expectations of what was
absolutely.
About to happen.
And absolutely.
And you just have, there's no rhyme or reason to anything that goes on in that regard, you know, and at that, you know, with all these people screaming up and hollering, you would think in that scenario that buy every CD.
Yep.
You know, oh, not one was bought.
Not a single one was bought.
That's funny to compare that to the other time where the crowd was dead silent most of the time.
Yes.
And then they bought every CD.
Absolutely.
So you just can't tell when things like that are going to happen.
No, no. And it's weird how every church is different. You know, I remember even going with you in some churches, Ray, where, you know, the crowd was just somewhat into it, you know, and then you could tell they kind of got a little bit tired as the, you know, as the concert went on. But afterwards, I've seen them come to your table and buy your CD of you playing the saxophone on almost all of them on several occasions. I'm like, man, you know, this is great. And then you get into, like, again, some of these churches we just talked about, and they buy absolutely nothing.
It is weird.
It's so different.
When it happens.
I don't have any reason as to think why it's that way. I don't know.
Well, some of it could be that some of those churches may legitimately have never seen anything like that with this way that we did Southern gospel mm-hmm. music. They may not have been accustomed to that. You know, some of those were Methodist churches, you know.
Yeah.
And the beautiful churches, Methodist mm-hmm. churches are. I really think that most that there are more often than not Methodist churches that have not seen anything like what we were doing.
Right. And it's probably new.
It's probably new
to their culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New to them.
Absolutely. And now, you know, I also got to say this before we move on to the next subject. There have been even in Baptist churches that I have been in personally, that I know personally, they don't give. But the reason I look back at it now is because the pastor does not show them in the Bible how amazingly blessed you can get in return to give back to a ministry. It's just not taught to them sometimes as well.
Right. That's definitely playing a factor.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people just can't afford it either.
Exactly.
For whatever reason. I mean, we're there for other reasons than to sell.
Absolutely.
Know,
definitely there for, you know, see people come back to Christ, see people accept Christ into their heart. You know, that's the main reason why we're there. And that will always be the main reason. But at the same time, we hope people understand that we can't go out and minister if we don't have the funds either.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It's a tough balance there, you know, because our hearts are, we're in it for the right reason, but we're not going to be on the road if we don't have the money to keep us on the road.
Yeah, we can't keep that up for too long.
Yeah.
You know, just in thinking about that in terms of the product table, you know, we held hands with people and prayed with them.
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff. And we would set up, you know, obviously after we get the sound system set up, somebody's also responsible for setting up that table.
Yep.
Well, we were down in Florida, and this is another funny little story where you can't make this stuff up. You know, I traveled with Mark Blackwood and Casey Shepherd, and if you've ever met those two, they have some very exuberant voices, boisterous. We have fun and you know, with banter, and of course traveling down the road. But I've you keep an eye on. There's so many things you can learn from anybody about how to do something, and one of the things I learned from Casey and Mark. And, you know, is to speak loudly whenever somebody comes to the table. So not only can they hear you, you know, you can open and start a conversation with them.
Exactly, right.
So that means there's so many useful things about, you know, traveling on the road, just learning from other people. Well, we were at that one church. Actually, it was like a kind of a community center or something in Florida. They had like a cafeteria. We set up our product in this thing. They had a little stage set up. We sang it. But when we set up the product table, this was before we were going to sing, there was a gentleman that came up to the table, and in my loudest Mark Blackwood voice possible, I said, "Hello, sir, how are you today?" And and he just looked at me, and he said, "No thanks," and he walked off. And that was the funniest thing. I've been torn up about that ever since that happened. I mean, it's not a bad memory that I'm thinking of, but I definitely can't forget that because it was so funny that he clearly had no intention of, you know, of
right.
I don't know what he thought I said, but he already had an answer no matter what I was going to say.
Yes.
So he had enough in that one moment. No thanks. And he, you know, he walked off.
I remember that.
That was the funniest thing.
That's awesome.
Before we get into the real meat of the show today, one last thing we want to talk about was one of those things I have yet to see happen elsewhere. And I don't know. And I know it wasn't an accident. Now, most of the time we were talking about people that are clapping in the church and
right.
afraid to clap. Well, there are some that don't know when to clap.
Exactly. You
know, and most of the time, this is a bad habit. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But when I stepped into a church, I would look for all the tambourines. And I'm telling you right now that I did hide them in closets. Because it can get so loud that you can't hear the beat of what's going on. And it's for no other reason than that. It's just because they don't know when to clap. A lot of people, as musicians, we Brad and I, we feel that strong beat on beats two and four.
Yep.
So we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. That's normally when like a snare drum hits, right?
Right.
So you got kick, snare, you know. And in Southern gospel music, I mean, it's really heavy on two and four.
Yes, it is.
You know, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just a white people thing sometimes.
I think it is, Ray. And, you know, I just think white people just does not have that rhythm.
There's something about that rhythm.
It's something that they just have a very hard time with.
Yeah, and then we learn. It's like they learn it, and then they teach it like that too. And like teaching the clap on 1 and 3, it drives me absolutely.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. Like, what are you doing? No, you
got this. Not a death march. Not it. You know, it's like a march to death.
Yes.
You know, kind of clapping on 1 and 3. Well, this was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. We were at one of those singing convention ordeals, and Mark Forrester.
This was in Michigan, right?
It was in Michigan.
Okay.
And he's a good friend of ours, the Forrester family.
Mm-hmm.
They all play and sing together.
Can I stop you right here real quick?
Go ahead.
His wife is one of the best female singers I have ever heard. She doesn't have a high range, but she's kind of got that just out front, alto voice. It's not nasally. It's just beautiful. And if you ever get a chance to hear the Mark Forrester family, I recommend you to go hear him. Mark is a great guy, great piano player. And his wife is just a singer, and their son on the drums, man, he's come a long way.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of their Facebook posts and the videos with all that. It is awesome, and it's not fair.
No, it's not.
Not totally not fair. But Mark Forrester, when you were there for this, he got that crowd to clap on 2 and 4.
It was amazing.
I don't know how it was done.
I don't either.
But when he did it, they'd listened.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately, and never lost it. You know, sometimes it can accidentally hit it, and they're doing it right, and then for whatever reason, I guess they clap too loud, can't hear the music all of a sudden, and then it's defaulted back to 1 and 3.
Yes, it
has.
I
mean, that can, you know, that's happened as well.
But you see, Mark Forrester, he has a gift of, if you ever go to one of his concerts, it's just his family, he has a gift of just reaching out, grabbing people, and getting their attention. So what he does, they listen to and do. He has that ability. God has given him that ability to do that for people. And he's a phenomenal preacher as well. So that's probably a huge advantage to get people to actually listen to him and to do it, because he has that gift.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to the meat of we're going to do here today. And this is actually something that we came up with not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call it nature versus nurture. And basically what that is how we...
people treat each other.
How we as people treat other people. Mm-hmm. We're Christians, Ray, so we understand that we have a sinful nature and how we are born with that versus how we are taught to deal with that nature.
Right, exactly.
You know, and as we was talking just a few minutes ago before we started the show, and I like how you said this, picking a switch.
Oh, yeah.
If any of you are laughing right now, you know what that means, because I've had to do it as a child. Yes. And I'm not the only one who I'm sure who has had to do that.
Oh no! If you have ever had to pick a switch before, and you brought that switch back and that switch did not suffice.
Yep.
And you had to go get another one.
Yep.
And that you got torn up even more.
You know, absolutely.
I think that was the whole experience of having to pick the switch that was worse than actually getting hit by the switch.
Because you're choosing your doom. You're choosing your death, man.
You're choosing your poison, how you're about to take that punishment.
Absolutely.
There.
But you know, this common form of method is, it has been thrown out the window by the government. You are no longer allowed to, you know, discipline your children as to your liking. But we as Christians understand that it's a biblical thing to discipline your kids.
Right.
Now, I do not believe in abuse.
No.
I do not believe beating with, and I've heard it growing up. where they would beat their kids with belt buckles. They would beat their kids with the end of the metal part of a water hose. That is not okay. That is nothing but mere child abuse. But there is a difference between abuse and disciplining your children out of love.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so discipline does play a big part in that. We are taught, I mean, as Christians, I mean, even people that aren't Christians, they try to teach their kids. They attempt to teach their children the difference between right and wrong. But what are you basing your right and wrong on? You know, exactly. if it is, you're talking about right and wrong in terms of what God's word says about it, you know, and that's what we strive to do as Christians.
Right.
Because that's our mindset for the world, what is right and what is not. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in that regard, you know, we can be taught what is right and wrong. We can teach our children when they're making wrong decisions, and discipline is a part of that. You know, but it really ultimately, when they grow up, it's about them making that choice to do what is right. In other situations, you know, when the consequences aren't as visible as, you know, what's right. 5 minutes in front of them, you know, getting a spanking or what have you. You know,
right.
When you're an adult, you have to have already known the difference between right and wrong, and you have to make a proactive choice to do what is right.
Absolutely. And I have two wonderful kids, and one of them is a boy, and he is all boy, and one of them is a daughter, and she is absolutely daddy's princess. But what I personally try to do and how I have raised my kids is this way. They only get, they only get the switch on two occasions. And that is when they absolutely, deliberately disobey, and when they absolutely, deliberately just do not listen. That is the only time. I believe in having patience with kids. They're in a learning process. You can't expect them to have the same mindset as an adult. You know, because sometimes it's as hard as it is for parents, sometimes we have to sit back and let them choose and see where they failed at. Not to the fact that it's just going to be flat out disrespect to authority. No, I do not put up with that. But sometimes decisions, as a father, I have to go to them and be like, look, this is what you're choosing to do. This is going to be the end result. Do you think that's a smart idea? Well, I don't know, Dad. I'm going to think about it. Okay, and it gets them thinking. It's like, okay, you know, this probably isn't the best way, and they get back in line. I believe in patience. I believe in really loving your kids and being, you know, somewhat as a guidance for them as well. Rather, you just don't always go straight to the switch.
Mm-hmm.
You
right,
know,
right.
You, because there is, again, there's that form of abuse. You know, kids have to learn from their mistakes, just like I did. My goodness, when I was in my teens and early 20s, Ray, I had to learn from my mistakes. And that's just how it is sometimes with kids. They just got to learn.
Right.
Themselves. They just have to learn themselves.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a lot of flop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know anything about it yet. I'm just speculating.
You're speculating?
we can awesome. Have some kids. Well, we are trying to have some kids, you know.
Yeah.
We're working on that. COVID helped us, you know, put that aside for,
there you
for
go.
A little bit. But we're working on that, though. We've been going to the doctors. And
yep. So. Bree and I are working on it, too. And, you know, God seems to bless us with that, and that's great. If not, you know, we got a family already, and we're very, very happy.
Yeah.
But I will say this. We see pushed by the media, this rioters and looters and people killing people. Now, look, I don't have to agree with you. You have the freedom of speech. And I believe that. I believe any person has a freedom of speech. Even if you're out there and I don't agree with what you're, you know, what you're protesting, you still have that freedom, and I can respect that. If long as you're doing it under the constitutional rights of peaceful protest is what the Constitution says. So going out there burning buildings, going out there looting, going out there setting courthouses on fire, killing little kids, You know, that's not peaceful. I don't care what anybody says. It's not peaceful.
And that has certainly been turned into a why is that the idea that is free speech? I mean, how on earth did that get put into that corner of burning a personal property in order to classify that as freedom of speech? I'm not making that connection with, you know, that's become a thing.
I don't either. I don't get it. The only thing, again, that comes to my mind, Ray, with all these thugs out there doing that, is the fact that they had no home unit of what we were just talking about.
Right. I mean, that's exactly right.
They had no discipline. They had no, they was never taught to respect authority. And whether we like it or not, and whether they like it or not, the police is our authority.
It is.
It is. I mean, that's just the bottom line. They go out and risk their lives every day. They go to special training every day. Should there be some things that should be updated in training? Absolutely. It's always great to update things to make things more safer for everybody. And I get that. But they are still our authority. And look, I'm not an Obama fan, but I had to understand that when he was in office, he was still my president.
Exactly.
I mean, there was no way around it. He was the elected president, just as Donald J. Trump, which I admire this man. I love Donald Trump. He is America's president, whether we like it or not, because this is one thing that I have got to sit back and say that my dad did absolutely amazing on. Raising us kids to respect authority, no matter if they're right or if they're wrong. See, I had that part of my family, and I shared some of this the last podcast of some bad things that happened in the family, but this is a good thing that happened in the family. My mom and dad really showed me, just not from their opinion, but in the Bible, where it says to respect authority. And that's why we have so many thugs out there nowadays, Ray, because they was never taught that from the beginning. They're fatherless. Right. Their mothers are incarcerated.
Right. The nurture side of this nature versus nurture was not there.
Absolutely
well,
not.
At least it was poorly developed.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the real reason for any of this. It's a lack of Christ.
Absolutely.
In somebody's life, because they had nothing to go on with what is right and what is wrong.
Right. And you bring up a great point there, because even as a child, Ray, I respected authority. I was never really the one to just go out of the way to, well, I'm not going to listen to you. I didn't do that because then I knew I'd get in trouble at home. But as I grew up and I became, that day that I accepted Christ, it just wasn't a mindset of this is how I was raised. I started learning spiritually, we'll just say spiritually, that if you want to live long days on the earth, you respect your authority.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that affects, you know, like we said earlier, how you treat other people.
Absolutely.
We have so many arguments today because we've stopped giving the benefit of the doubt, for one, with somebody in their life. We think that, well, some people have thought that their way is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
We've become very selfish, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
All of our actions seem to be a purpose to save face. With how it appeases other people.
Yep.
I think that's a big thing that's going on with anyone that perpetuates the ideas of the BLM, of the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, it's a perpetuation of saving face constantly.
Yeah.
You know, yes, those lives matter.
Absolutely, you know, they do.
Our lives matter. Everybody's lives.
Everybody.
I'm trying not to chuckle about it, but I mean, it really is that simple that all of our lives matter. Christ died because all of us matter. And he rose on the cross because all of us matter.
Mm-hmm. And Ray, there is a thing that we have talked about, making a choice to do what is right. When I think of this is my mindset on it, is yes, there are children who were raised fatherless. They were raised with their mother incarcerated. They were basically raised by gangs and in the street. And I hate that for them. You know, no kid should have to do that. They should be, their father should be present, their mother should be present, and they should invest in that child's life. But that is just not the world that we live in anymore. However, they get around these gangs, and these gangs take them in, and they quote-unquote protect them, and they're raised up in the streets, and they get on hooked on drugs, and they're doing things that at the very young age they should not be doing. But making a choice to do what is right, there is going to come in every single person's life, they are going to have to sit down and say, what is the right thing to do? What is the right path to do? Because, yes, these children were raised up in that. And I honestly believe a lot of these kids, as they grow up, they want a way out. I don't think all of them want to be in that life. They get tired of it, and they're looking for a way out. But there's going to come a time, if they want out, they're going to have to get in their mind to make the right choice to get out of it. They got protection agencies for these kids. They got homes for these kids who would love to take them in. We was just talking about, producing more babies. There's families out there who can't have babies that would love to adopt people and little kids. And there's different avenues for these kids and teenagers to get out of it. You know, but we have to come to the point where we understand that there is a choice that we all have to make to do what is right. Are you going the wrong way, or are you going to the right way? That is the question.
Conscious effort.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we as people, yes, our nature is a sinful nature, but I believe God also gives us common sense.
There's a bit of that included. A little dose of that.
You know, I believe.
He throws some in, like he's peppering a steak here.
He's throwing some. he gives us common sense too, bud. And people, I believe, why they tend to go more to the wrong way is because it appeases their flesh. It appeases their desires to get what they want. And in return, they become selfish. They become thugs. They become criminals. And before they know it, they're blaming cops for being thrown in jail because they were out killing people or high on drugs.
They still made a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just how I feel about it. I mean, that's my choice. I'm making a choice to do what is right. We all have to come to that agreement in ourselves. If you want out bad enough, you're going to make the right choice.
All right. We've talked about nature versus nurture today, and we talked a little bit about what all that meant to us. And we were talking about discipline methods, and I think Brad has a funny story for you.
Yes. I am the third child in. So basically, me and my brother David were the middle children. Jeffrey and Shelly, they could have got away with murder, and they still would have been bought gifts for Christmas. But me and David were the ones who really probably got the most discipline. And I'm going to be honest with you, most of it I deserved. You know, as I said earlier, I'm really not the one to disrespect authority, but I have a few times when I was a kid. And I'm going to tell actually two stories real quick. They're very brief. One is I was probably, Ray, I would say I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And I don't remember what it was over. I just remember the discipline part of it. My mom told me to do something, but, you know, this is when Nintendo was out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to stop playing Tecmo Super Bowl.
That's a good game.
Yeah, it was a great game. And she's like, son, I need you to do this. And I'm like, oh, man, come on. I'm in the middle of a game. So I act like, you know, I didn't hear, but I heard her.
Yeah.
And she's like, and she hollered louder, son, I'm not going to tell you again. You got to get out here and do this. And I just, all right, mom, I'll be there. And just give me just 1 second. I'm on my way. Well, about 5 minutes later, she comes up to where I'm playing the Nintendo. And she busts through that door.
Oh, no.
And she is yelling at me the whole way downstairs. And she's like, I told you to do this, and you said you'd be here. And by this time, I'm mad because I didn't want to stop playing Tecmo Super Bowl. And so I peeked my head around that corner. I told my mom to shut up.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
The next thing I see was a flip-flop coming right to my mouth. My mom popped me in the mouth with a flip-flop. And the next thing, the story ain't over. The next thing I know is my dad picking me up by the shirt and throwing me clear across the living room onto the couch and the couch flipping over. You say, well, that's a bit excessive. Hey, I never did it again. I learned the first time, do not ever tell your mama to shut up. And I look back at that now, me and my dad, that's actually one thing that we've laughed over at several occasions because, look, you can sit here and say it was excessive. I look at it now as a grown man. It showed me something. Do not ever, ever disrespect authority like that.
Exactly right.
The other thing was my dad was preaching a revival, and he was out of town. So I got the genius idea to kind of get around some of the bad boys in town. And I was probably, I think I was about 11 or 12. And the first time I was ever introduced to cigarettes. And me and my buddy was back in our barn smoking up some cigarettes. And my mama found out about it, and I lied to her. I lied to her. I was like, Mama, I was over at the neighbor's house because I knew the neighbors smoked like a freight train. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just blame it on that. Well, my mom got the genius idea to walk across the road to the neighbor and ask her if I was there. And the neighbor's like, no, I ain't seen him all day. Oh, boy. You talking about Mama. Look, Mama's small. Mama's not a big-natured person. You know, she... I mean, she was just this tiny little thing, but she had her way of dealing with us boys. And one of the funniest things that I think back of now is the way that she did that. She would walk out of the room and she would yell through the door, take your clothes off, wrap yourself in a thin sheet, and I'm coming in to whoop you. So she knew in her mind, Ray, that... with her strength, she didn't really have enough strength to hurt us with padding on her butt. So she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go another way. She's like, I'm just going to tell them to get naked, wrap themselves in their bed sheet, and I'm going to whoop them that way because we're still closed. She couldn't see anything. And boy, she lit into me, Ray, and I never wanted to smoke another cigarette after that. But the story's not over.
It's the best stop smoking plan ever.
Yes. My dad, my mom ended up making me tell my dad on the phone. And I said, Mama, no, you tell him. She's like, no, you are going to learn to stand up and be honest and say, I did something wrong. At that time, I hated it. But anyway, story goes on. My dad calls home that night. My mom made me tell my dad. So my dad comes home. My dad tells me over the phone. He said, I'll deal with you when I get home. He said, you're grounded till I get home. This is about halfway through his meeting. So I'm sitting there just sweating every day. A couple days pass by, my dad comes back home. And I'm like, oh, man, this is it. After school, I see my dad parked in there. I'm like, I'm dead. This is it. This is the day I die. He said, he's going to deal with me. This is the day I die. Well, he let me sit for 2 weeks before he even mentions about coming and disciplining me again. I'm telling you what, Ray, I can't sit here honestly and say I never smoked again because I have. But every puff of cigarette that I've had, that story reminds me of that time when that happened. I think about it now, it's just hilarious. And I think you got a story absolutely kind of along the similar lines of just being disciplined, right?
Well, this is actually just a funny little quick bit here. I've got a younger sister and a younger brother, Amanda and Daniel. Whenever we would get in trouble, it was oftentimes we were doing all of this nonsense together and we would all three get disciplined, you know. Daniel is my younger brother's name. His wife is Kate, and they've got a beautiful little girl, Amelia. I know Daniel's raising her right. Mm-hmm. Daniel and Kate both are raising them right. They're good parents. Good, Daniel's good, good heads man. On Daniel's their shoulders. A good man.
I like that.
Incredible bass singer.
Oh, my God. Yes, he is.
The little girl has to be frightened if he gets into his... He sounds like a walking subwoofer. But no, one of the funny things, and I don't know how I reacted necessarily whenever I would get disciplined, but we've always laughed about a few times Daniel, when he was getting ready to get his spanking, he would say... attempt to thwart it by going, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Dad, Dad, stop, Dad. Anyway, that was a quick thing that I wanted to talk about. Anyway, we're finished for today. Thank you for listening again.
Yes.
Tune in again next time we do this, probably next week or not next week, the next one.
Yep. We'll try and get one out as soon as possible. Yeah. My work schedule is pretty rough right now, so.
Yeah, we enjoy doing this. We hope that you like listening in. We decided to turn on a microphone and record ourselves.
Yes, and talking share about this. Things. Share this with people.
Share this with people. We had some good response last week on
yes,
it.
Yes, we did.
It was pretty good. We're on Spotify, actually daily. I meant to tell you this too. Anchor is where I launched this from. Anchor is a good place for making your podcast and uploading. They'll help you get to all the major outlets for podcasts. So we're on Spotify and a bunch of others that I've never heard of.
We on Facebook?
Not on the Facebook web. Okay. Well, Facebook's not one of the ones that, you know,
okay,
streams podcasts necessarily.
Yeah, let people know about this.
But definitely share it, like it, and we'll end with you being able to listen to that incredible group. What were they called again, Brad?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. They're the I Don't Know Trio.
I don't know trio.
Sing it, boys.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.